The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have Meg Cabot. She's in with her brand new book, Size 12 and Ready to Rock. This is a Heather Wells mystery. Let's talk about Heather and find out who Heather is. She's an ex-rock star. Is that right?
She is. She was a teen pop star. So she was one of those, kind of like Debbie Gibson. She got her start as a teenager and did the whole mall tours and then rose her way, up to being one of the first. I think she was the number one teen pop star for a while. She had, I think she was the youngest female recording artist ever to have a number one hit. That was back in the, way back in the 90s. Now she's in her late 20s and she, you know, she was kicked off her record label because she wanted to write her own music and not sing what the recording label was giving her. And she gained a little weight as a teen and, you know, that happens. And so she was summarily dismissed and she had to go out in the real world and try to find a job. And the job she ended up getting was, assistant manager of a residence hall at a New York City college.
It's like Death Hall or something, isn't it?
They call it Death Dorm because since she started working there, there have been a few murders. It's a horrible name to call somebody's home, although she doesn't live there. She lives out, but she works there from 9 to 5, and since she started working there, she's noticed there's some injustice. So she's working towards getting a degree because one of the benefits she gets for working there is that she can take classes for free, and she's studying criminal justice and then, you know, solving crimes in her spare time. And, of course, having some romances. Ooh. She's got her eye on a guy.
All right, well, Death Dorm, they didn't start murdering people until she got there. I mean, is she a serial killer?
No. I believe there were some crimes before she got there, but she's the one who really started noticing the injustices that were happening because, you know, she's very smart.
Yes. It's difficult to find notice a dead person with all the kids around.
You know, what I like to say is that, you know, in a student body that large, there are going to be some deaths. I mean, it's natural. The fact that they are unnatural deaths, though, is what has caught her eye, and so she, in every book, she tries to bring the criminal to justice, which is hard for an amateur sleuth.
Well, I want to know, you know, Cartwright Records is what she cut her teeth on, got the big hits and everything. She kind of dated one of the boys there, didn't she?
She did, yeah. When she was a teen, she was paired up with a boy band, and the boy band happened to be the lead singer was Jordan Cartwright, whose dad owns the record label. You know, that was convenient. So he's her ex. Jordan's her ex, and she still runs into him from time to time. And actually, conveniently, she's actually working for his brother, who's the one guy who refused in the family to go into the family business. And he is a private detective now.
And not so, only that, yeah. But yeah. There's more.
Yeah.
I think the family, the father lives in the house.
Well, the father actually comes from money, and his father left Cooper, who is the one brother that didn't go into the family business. And I think for that reason, the grandfather left Cooper the family brownstone, which is a couple blocks away from, conveniently, from Death Dorm. And so, when Heather was dropped from the label and had nowhere to go and actually walked in on Jordan with another woman. Another woman who happened to be a diva, a pop diva too. Cooper was like, hey, you know, you can stay with me for a little while. But there was nothing going on, like nothing like that. And you can stay for free if you help me with my, bookkeeping, because I actually had a job for a while working for a private detective, which is something that I noticed the private detectives are really good at detecting, but not so good at bookkeeping. So I actually had that job, and that's what Heather does for him. She does his bookkeeping, but there was nothing going on in exchange for having a place in his brownstone. So that was great, and she was doing that and then also working in the dorm. But I have to say, in Size 12 and Ready to Rock, things have heated up a little maybe between the two of them. Although it's very taboo because, you know, he's her ex's brother. Shocking family scenario going on.
A thing only you could read in the tabloids or Size 12 and Ready to Rock.
Or it does actually happen from time to time in real families.
All right, now with the Heather Wells Mystery Series, what book is this in the series?
Well, this is book four, but I actually haven't really contributed a book into the series for about 5 years because I've been working on other series. I have a new series for teens that's a paranormal series called Abandon, and there's a new book in that series called Underworld. And I also have been working on a series for really younger readers called Ally Finkel's Rules for Girls. So I kind of took a little break on this series. But I keep getting reader mail about it, asking for more books in this series. And I was really surprised because usually I hear more from, you know, fans of the Princess Diaries or the Mediator series, kind of series that I'm more known for. But this series, I really hear a lot from readers who want to hear more from Heather. So I thought, you know, I actually kind of got an idea for a new story. And I thought, I'm going to do another one. So this one just kind of came to me and I wrote it really, not fast, but it all just kind of came together quickly, and I talked to my editor about it, and she's like, yeah, let's do it. And Heather, in this one, she's kind of dealing more, again, with the Cartwright family, because there's a mystery involved with that, but it does pull in the residence hall and in a kind of fun way, because the ex that, you know, she got dumped by, his new wife, Tanya, is actually being stalked, and she wants to start a little diva rock camp, and they have nowhere really kind of to do it where Tanya will be safe from the stalker. Except, of course, Death Norm, which really doesn't make sense, but, you know, all of the criminals have been put away. So they figure, okay, it'll be safe to do it there over the summer when there's no residents from the university living there. And that's, it kind of goes from there. But Heather's not really that excited about it because, of course, she doesn't want to be in that close proximity to the girl who, you know, kind of ruined her life in a way. So it's really kind of family story, but it's also got the fun kind of college. I love writing about the college kind of edge and the campus mystery because that's kind of where I grew up when I lived in Bloomington, Indiana. And so, and I also, of course, worked for 10 years in a residence hall in New York City. So,
with this Heather Wells series, when did this start? I mean, did it start when she was a teen and doing her pop music, or does it start maybe way after that?
No, it actually does start when, on her first day working in the residence hall, or kind of like the first, month, because I really wanted it to be kind of a story about transition. You know, she's transitioning into her new life, kind of being a regular person. A lot of people don't even recognize her because she was, you know, a teenager when she was the pop star, and she was much younger and, you know, a little thinner. Now she's kind of a bigger girl. She's also an older girl. I know a lot of people think, well, this series must be about body image because this, all the titles have to do with size. And that's kind of Heather reflecting on the fact that, you know, yeah, she's bigger, but that's not all she is. And who she was back when she was younger isn't who she is now either. Who she is somebody who's trying to kind of find her way. And what I think is kind of an interesting idea about her working in this dormitory is that all the kids that she's working with are also kind of, they're new adults, and they're kind of trying to figure out who they are, transitioning into their new lives, just exactly the same way she is, only she's a little bit older than they are. So, and that was something when I worked in the dorm I loved so much, because these were, I call them kids, but of course they're young adults. It was so exciting to work with them because they were always so excited about learning new things in their classes and exploring all these kind of new ideas about who they wanted to be. And that's exactly what Heather's doing too. Because she doesn't know. She in her own way is kind of a new adult because she was stuck in this kind of celebrity cog, this wheel of, you know, this is who you're going to, this is the song you're going to sing, this is who you're going to be, this is what you're going to look like. And that really wasn't who she was. So she really doesn't have an idea of who she is now. But now that she's got kind of broken free, this is what she gets to do, and you know, she really is, I think, enjoying it. Although these people keep coming and killing people around her, so that part I don't think she enjoys so much. But she does like bringing them to justice.
No, I can see where the experience of the detective agency helps out with the book, and you know, the mystery aspect of this, and the crime and everything. How about the music part of it? Did you have to do much research on that?
I did, and fortunately, I do have friends who work in the music business and relatives, so I can always ask them when I get to a stumbling block. And so I really appeal a lot to people in my life who are like, oh, no, not again. What do you want to know? I actually also have a brother who's a police sergeant, so I'm always asking him for help and emailing him, you know, random questions like, okay, so if a body has sat in a room for this many days, what would it look like? You know, if you ever experienced this kind of poison, and he's just like, oh my gosh, please, I hope you're writing a book right now, because well, otherwise, what is going on in your neighborhood? Because I just am really worried. So yeah, it's, and the same thing with the music industry stuff. Fortunately, I have to say that none of the books are really based on true things that actually happened when I was working in the residence hall. We did have, unfortunately, students die, but they were always from natural causes. Not.
And you didn't find them, unlike Heather.
You know, I unfortunately did, yes. I know it's really horrible, but we quickly, I mean, it's sad. It's, but it's part of life, and, you know, it happens, and you call 911, and you do have to break the news to their parents, but it, you know, it's something that happens when you have a population that size, and every once in a while it's gonna happen, and it's very sad, but it did, make me able to, you know, write about it in a way that I can be sympathetic to not just my readers, but also the people who, might have, you know, family members that that's happened to and stuff like that. And also, especially when I'm talking to my brother, his feelings about when he's had to walk into scenes like that. And it's horrible to say, but there is a little bit sometimes of humor. That's not horrible to say, but the people who have to work in that kind of situation, in order to keep going, occasionally it does.
Yeah, you have to do that to keep sane, is
exactly.
What I hear.
Exactly. They call it gallows humor, I think. And there's very little of that in my book now. There is some humor. But the great part of it is that in my books, they do catch the guilty parties.
There you go. Well, size 12 and ready to rock, this Heather Wells mystery series. What ages is this book geared for?
It is an adult book. Now, I normally write for teens and tweens. I've always written for adults, and that's actually how I got my start. I started writing out for adults, and so this is a return to adult fiction, although I've had a lot of readers let me know that it is appropriate for teens. There's nothing in there that's too naughty. So I think that, you know, mature teens could certainly read it.
What are the challenges of writing adult books, then switching up to young adults and even younger kids?
Certainly the language, and by that I mean swear words. You can't, you know, I try not to keep it I don't want it to be treacly, and I don't want it to be too sweet for when I write for kids, but I do think that definitely there are some parents who don't want their kids to be having exposure to words that are, you know, of the four-letter variety. So there are some in this book, nothing too serious. And because I do think that if you have a criminal, he's probably not going to be saying, oh my gosh. You know, he might be using a little bit saltier language. So there is a little bit of salty language, and that occurs. There is a little bit of Heather's engaged. I don't want to give anything away to people who haven't read the third book in the series, but I since there has been it's been 5 years since the last book, I think that's not a spoiler. So in this book, she's engaged, and she's living with her fiance. So there is a little bit of, how can I put this, flirting. might go a little further than that. So there's a little bit of that, although nothing too much on screen. So, you know, just people need to be prepared. It's not that much that's on screen. But she certainly has a healthy sex life, let's put it that way. And I think that that's a really important thing to my readers from what I hear, because what they really like about it is that she's an average-sized girl. And in America right now, the average size is size 14. More than 50% of women in America are that size or larger. And what I keep hearing from my readers is, thank you for portraying a female character who is that size and has a healthy sex life. And she didn't lose weight, you know, to get a guy. And it's certainly something that happened to me. And I don't understand why we don't see more of that on the screen and, you know, on our TVs and in our books, because that's certainly something that I know all of us ladies are out there doing. So I just think that that's an important thing to show, that she's happy and healthy, and she's got a great guy, so who's very interested in her. In every way.
Is, yes.
He's interested in her brain too, though.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the Princess Diaries series, made into a movie, young adult type book.
Yes, definitely. And in the Princess Diaries, the heroine starts out when she's 14 years old, and the series goes for 10 full-length novels, and it ends when she's 18 and she graduates from high school. I know the two movies actually depict her, her freshman year in high school, and then they skip all the way to when she graduates from college, and she has to get married. That was just made up by Disney. So I always like to say there's two Princess Diaries universes. There's Meg Cabot's, which is the right one, and then there's Disney's, which is super fun, but it's not the real one. But that's okay. I totally love it, and I thought that Gary Marshall did a great job, and I love Julie Andrews, and I obviously love Anne Hathaway. She did such a great job. She actually read the books on tape for the first three books in the series, and she's just amazing. So I really just so appreciate that. But just in case anyone's confused, that what happens in the Princess Diaries 2 movie isn't what happens in the books. So I still may return to the books and kind of go back and write about Princess Mia's college years and maybe her royal wedding. Because everybody's into the royal wedding now with Princess Kate and Prince William. So they keep writing to me and going, when will you guys see Mia's wedding? So who knows?
So you might write and then pretty much make it as how the movie...
No, I don't think so, because that's probably not what's going to happen. Because I changed in the books, there's a lot of things that they changed in the movies. For instance, in the books, Princess Mia's dad is still alive. They killed him. They killed him in the movies, which I understood. They explained. They said, we want to give Julie Andrews' character more lines. And if she's the queen, then she'll have more lines. But that, actually, in the books, Genovia is a principality, so there are no queens. Everyone is either a prince or a princess, and her father is still alive. Now, I don't want to kill him, because he's a great character in the book. So there will obviously be some major differences.
So what did people say about that? I mean...
Well, it's so funny, because kids read the books. I get a lot of younger readers, and they're always writing to me, let me know I got it wrong. They saw the movie, and I'm wrong. And so I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me know. It's hilarious.
Did you have much to do with the movie itself? Any of the screenwriting?
I really didn't. When that happened so early in my career, they actually optioned the movie rights before the book even got published. So right. I had no experience, and I they offered, and I said, oh my gosh, no. I mean, it's Gary Marshall. I think he can handle it. So, but they did call and let me know things that were happening and why they were making certain changes. And I said, carry on. I think you got it. So no, I really didn't, but I got, I went to the premiere and I met everyone, and it was an amazing, wonderful experience.
You have a cameo in it?
No, I wish, I wish I had asked for that. I'm so mad at myself that I didn't even think of it. Cause I just thought, first, I was kind of also thinking, this isn't really happening. Like, this is such a joke. No, this isn't really happening. And they shot it quickly, like in 1 month. It was greenlit and it happened. And then they sent this check. And I was like, what? They really did it? And then it was over. So I should have probably asked for one in the second one, but I was also very busy writing more books.
When that was being made into a movie, what was your expectations? Did your publicist say, hey, you know what? They do this all the time.
I have to be totally honest with you. I was still working in the dorm when this was all going on. So I was very busy with my job and also writing more books and thinking this whole thing was not even really going on. So I had no, I really didn't think it was going to happen. And I had heard when my book finally, when Princess Diaries finally got published, that was what they said. They said, things get optioned all the time. And that is very true. Like all my books are optioned. Size 12 has been optioned, but nothing ever really happens. So Princess Diaries was optioned and did get made. And I've had Avalon High is a book of mine that was made into Disney television movie. And I had another series called the 1-800 Where Are You series, which was made into a television series on Lifetime called Missing. But everything else has also been optioned. And I mean, that's so like over 50 books. So, there's a very small ratio of things that actually get made. So it's a little astonishing when something actually does get made. So that's why I made no plans whatsoever. But I'm so regretful now. I wish I had. It would have been fun.
All right. Now, I believe you just said you have got 50 books out.
Oh, yes. A lot. I know. I've written a lot of books. It's a little crazy.
So like a 25-year-old, how do you do that?
Well, it's really changed since I started. When I started, you went and you just, you wrote your book and then you sent letters to agents asking them if they'd be interested in representing you. And that was obviously back in the Wow, 90s, yeah. So it now with the internet, I'm really dating myself now because now with the internets, it's all different now. But now you can self-publish your book in all sorts of ways on the internet. And I don't know if I necessarily recommend that because I do think it's better to try to get your book published and have somebody else pay you as opposed to you paying to do it. So I recommend getting an agent, and there's lots of search engines you can use to try to find out how to do that. There was a great book that I used called The Jeff Herman Guide to Getting an Agent, Editor, and Publisher, and I would still use that to read all about how you would do that, because that really helped me. And basically, I just wrote to every agent in that book, which was, I think, 1,000 agents, and they pretty much all rejected me several times until I finally found one who took me on, and she's still my agent today. And then she sent out some of my books. I had written several during the time I was being rejected, and they all got rejected several times until finally somebody took one. And that was a romance novel that I'd written under another name because I didn't want my grandma to find out. And while, you know, that was being published, I ended up writing The Princess Diaries, which is the one that I did publish under my own name because I figured it didn't have a lot of naughty bits that my grandma could get upset about.
Well, I suppose she was reading romance novels at the
time. She actually found out, and she loved it, so I should have just done it, but, you know, oh well. In hindsight, everything's different.
With 50 books, how many series do you have, and how many active series do you have out there?
Well, right now, I'm concentrating on the Heather Wells series because, that's one that I think has really touched a lot of people. I kind of base it on what I hear back from readers, and this one I hear back so much. Also, this paranormal series that I'm working on that's for teens, called Abandon. And then I'm just gonna see what happens. I hear a lot from people who love this series that I wrote kind of back before paranormal got really big called The Mediator. And I haven't written a book in that series for a while, but I'm thinking about maybe doing another one of that. But we'll see what happens. But the one I write for younger readers, Allie Finkel's Rules for Girls, because it's hard being a 9-year-old. There are no rules for friendship and stuff, so I hear a lot from younger readers about that. So we'll see how that one goes, too.
What do you have to do to get yourself back to about a 9-year-old girl to write where they can understand?
You know, something that I did, and I really recommend to anyone who wants to be a writer, is I kept diaries my whole life. Not a blog, because obviously they didn't have that when I was 9, but, you know, keeping a private diary really helped. And since I did save them all, I just go back and I look at what I wrote about when I was 9. And a lot of it was, you know, what I had for dinner or how much I hate my brothers. But I mean, it really takes you back to, and you know, the fights you would have with your friends and how, you know, how much homework you had. And I think that it really hasn't changed that much. I mean, there's new technology now, which I think complicates kids' lives especially, but it's really kind of, the emotions are definitely the same. I mean, and the fights that you have and the boy problems or girl problems or whatever, and certainly the divorce, this pain that you feel over that, or any kind of trauma that kids go through, it's all the same. And so I think that, and I think emotionally it really helps to write down your feelings rather than punching your brother in the face, which
is kind of fun too, though.
I was urged to keep a diary. It is very fun, but it doesn't really help with the problem solving. Although when I worked in the dorm, I will say that the boys who would just punch each other over their roommate conflicts got over them much more quickly than the girls who would use these elaborate machinations where we literally would have girls do the most heinous things to one another. And I just wished they would punch each other and get it over with like the boys would. But instead, it would just go on and on the whole semester. I can't even tell you, because this is probably family listeners, what they would do to each other. But it was so nasty. It was just awful. So, just everybody just keep a diary.
So did that give you any ideas for some of your books?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, yes. And so, yeah, almost everything that's in the books, especially, well, the Heather Wells series is stuff that I took directly from the dorm. I worked there 10 years. I cannot use real names, obviously. And there, like I said, there were no murders. So everything except the murders. But in the first book, for instance, there's elevator surfing. Kids would get on the top of the elevator and ride up and down for fun.
Wow.
So that definitely happened. And fortunately, we didn't have any deaths in my building because of that. But there were deaths in other buildings. That's very dangerous. Kids, don't do that. Stop it. Why are you doing that? That's bad. So get off the elevator.
So do you still journal, diary?
I do, yes. I, you know, since I have written so many books, I did stop for a while because I was just putting all my emotions into my books. And then I was told by a mental health professional that that does not work with your mental health because you are not actually experiencing the emotions yourself. You are experiencing them through another character. And so I was told I had to start journaling again. And I have to say, it's really helped. So I have to tell everyone, don't think that if you, I still also write fan fiction. As a kid, I wrote Star Wars fan fiction. So if you're like writing your fan fiction and thinking that living your problems out through some other character is going to help you, it will not. You have to also journal. That is my advice. I'm giving it to you for free, straight from a mental health professional. Stop doing that. You have to journal in addition to your writing.
You know, I suppose you could do that on the computer. You could do it with a pen and paper.
Yes.
What do you prefer, I guess?
Well, I write my books on a computer. I journal with a pen and paper.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I just, for me, it's more cathartic. Maybe because when I was a kid, I wrote with a pen and paper. But I started writing books and typing them probably when I was around 12. So
I journal with a slab of rock. You know.
I know. Well, that's probably super cathartic. How you really get out your aggression that way.
Well, Meg, tell me a little bit about your website. If I want more information about Meg Cabot, Heather Wells, Princess Diaries, other series, where could I go?
Well, you can go to MegCabot.com, and on there you can find my blog, which obviously I don't write my super personal problems on it anymore after my family started reading it. You can find my Twitter page, my Facebook. You can find all sorts of information about Heather. There's a new FAQ page, and we also have posted Heather's video. Some of her videos from when she was a teenager are up now, and also a playlist. You can just find all sorts of stuff. And also, if you have any questions about how you can be a writer, we have some great FAQs up there about that, too.
Yeah, you know, I saw a rocking video with Heather Wells. It was fantastic.
Thank you. We worked on that really hard. I wrote that song, and we had somebody write the music, a great guy. And it's been a really fun experience. And my only regret is that I myself did not star in the video. But unfortunately, I am not 17 and not that great a singer. So.
Well, that would have been fun. You could be like the teacher of the hall monitor.
I could have been the director. Yes, exactly. I could have been, but... Oh, well, at least I got to write the book, so that's the best part.
Well, there you go. Well, the book is size 12 and ready to rock this, a brand new Heather Wells mystery. I tell you what, Heather is going to take you on a trip you won't believe. She gets shot early on. Oh, my gosh, you're going to have to read that just to find out what happens, and does she survive? Is this going to be the last book for Heather Wells? Well, you just have to get that and check it out. Meg, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Hey, what a fun book. Size 12 and ready to rock. A Heather Wells mystery, brand new by Meg Cabot. You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.